Wir verdanken den Besuch von Lord Rutherford und von Professor Fowler eine Einladung unserer Fakultät. Ich begrüße Sie alle hier, begrüße vor allem unseren Gast Lord Rutherford und auch Professor Fowler, der mit uns gekommen ist. Ich begrüße unseren Herrn Kurator, die Fakultätsmitglieder, die Herrn Dekane der anderen Fakultäten und viele andere Gäste, die ich nicht alle aufzählen kann. Auf Anregung von uns Physikern hat die Fakultät Lord Rutherford eingeladen, hier einen Vortrag zu halten. Nun, es hätte fast keiner solchen Einladung bedurft. Es ist gerade 200 Jahre her. Da wurde durch einen englischen König die Göttinger Gesellschaft der Wissenschaften gegründet. Und jedem ihrer auswärtigen Mitglieder, zu denen Lord Rutherford seit langem gehört, ist das Recht verliehen, dieselben Rechte der Vorlesung und so weiter zu haben, wie jeder von uns Professoren. Sie erlauben mir, dass ich das Englisch wiederhole. Lord Rutherford. The faculty has invited you to come, but I wish to say first that it really wasn't necessary to invite you to give here a lecture because you had the right to do so as a member of our Royal Society of Göttingen. The Society of Göttingen has been founded 200 years ago by an English king and has kept this name, Royal Society of Göttingen. Since this time, and every foreign member, as you are, has the right to teach at the University of Göttingen in the same way as we do. But we didn't know that you know that. Wir wussten nicht, dass Lord Rutherford diese Geschichte, alte Geschichte kannte. Du hielten wir jetzt für sicherer, ihn zu bitten, hier zu kommen und einen Vortrag zu halten. Aber es wäre wohl diesem großen Ereignis nicht angemessen, wenn es so ein einfacher Vortrag in der Physik wäre. So hat die Göttinger Fakultät einstimmig beschlossen, Lord Rutherford ihren Ehrendoktor zu verleihen. Ich stehe darum vor Ihnen in dem Talar unserer Fakultät und will Lord Rutherford jetzt zum Doktor der Honoris Causa der Philosophie unserer Fakultät machen. Let me say the same in English. The faculty has decided to give you, Lord Rutherford, the Doctor of Philosophy Honoris Causa. And I will read the document by which we make you a member of our circle. Unter der Amtsführung seiner Magnifizenz des Rektors Professor Dr. Med. Erhard Rieke ernennt die mathematisch-naturwissenschaftliche Fakultät der Georg-August-Universität durch ihren Dekan Professor Dr. Phil Max Born Ernest Lord Rutherford of Nelson in Cambridge, England zum Ehrendoktor der Philosophie. Lord Rutherford hat die Physik durch zahlreiche Entdeckungen bereichert. Es seien als wichtigste die Zerwalt-Gesetze der radioaktiven Substanzen, das Gesetz der Ablenkung der Alphastrahlen, die Zertrümmerung von Atomkernen genannt. Seine Ergebnisse sind einer der tragenden Pfeiler für das große Gebäude der Atomforschung. Ausgefertigt und mit dem Insiegel der Fakultät versehen.
I did not know that I had the right to lecture to you on this occasion, but I'm greatly surprised to know what the dean of the faculty has the honor that the dean of the faculty has done. I am very proud to be a foreign member of the Göttingen Academy. And my pride is still more increased by me made an honorary doctor of this great university. I thank you and your colleagues for your very great kindness and also the very great honor you have done me, an unexpected honor on this occasion. You have referred, Mr. Dean, to the fact that the Royal Society of Göttingen was founded by an English king, I think George II, King of England, and Elector of Hanover. It is of some interest to recall the connection of the English royal family with science and particularly with the Royal Society. In the year that Newton died, in 1727, the King George I of England and King George II were made members or patrons of the Royal Society of London. And under the influence, I think largely, of the great fame of Newton, one could understand that the King would be interested in founding associations to carry on the work of science. I believe I am right in saying that the University of Göttingen was founded in 1737. And personally, as president a few years ago of the Royal Society, I have been very interested to follow the connection of this university with English science. It's been a great pleasure to me to send more than one of my students to learn wisdom with Professor Ball and Professor Frank here. And I myself, although this is the first time that I have visited this town of Göttingen, I have known well the great reputation of this great university. I may be allowed to thank you again for this very great honor you have done me. I must apologize for speaking to you in English, but I have the excuse that I was born at the other end of the world, in New Zealand, and have not had time since my arrival in Europe to learn your language. But I think if you had heard me speak German, you would be grateful that I am addressing you in English. Now, today, if you will allow me, I will give an informal talk to you on a certain line of work in which I have been interested, and some of my fellow workers in the university and in the Cavendish Laboratory in Cambridge. That these lines are connected with those two gamma rays and probably the others as well. Now, next slide. Well, we'll pass on with that. These are some of the strong gamma rays. Next one. Now, we come again to our old system. There are the alpha particles. Imagine that with green one, green, blue, I think the color is. That's an excited level. And when that falls down, that gives the gamma ray. But now, a very interesting point arises that I'd like to say a word about. Does it necessarily follow that the alpha particle, in falling from that level to the ground level there, is it necessary that it gives a gamma ray, an X-ray? Might it not be possible that it may not be able to give its energy in radiation at all, but might have to give it to some other part of the system? Now, lights up a moment. Now, this particular line there, a gamma ray, which ought to be 1,400,000 volts, it's one in the, what we call the magnetic, the beta ray spectrum. It's one of the strongest lines in the spectrum. But yet, no one has been able to find any gamma ray, actual gamma ray, corresponding to it. It ought to be a very strong gamma ray, and if there's anything there, it's very weak. Now, how are you to explain that? You get the alpha rays, the evidence of a high level of energy of about the right magnitude, you don't get a gamma ray. Well, Professor Paolo is here today, suggested. Here you had a case of what is called a radiationless chain. That you had the, here's the level, the alpha particle, there's the normal level, and here is the nucleus, and there is the electron. That it couldn't escape by radiation. It had to give its energy to the outer electron, say the K electron there, and the L electron there, and gives its energy purely in the form of beta ray. And that would account for the whole system. It may be, and I think it's probable, that great group, which dominates the landscape, you know, like Everest dominates the landscape, is really an abnormal, probably abnormal type of transformation, where the energy, for some reason, for some principle of exclusion, as our mathematical friends would say, cannot appear in radiation, but goes to the outer atom. And it may be there are a number of those cases. We have to bear them in mind. But what it also means, that one can show, is that particular type of transformation is much slower than the others. That it lasts up in that level on an average much longer than the others. It's a difficulty in getting rid of the energy in the outer system. How's the time going? Is that time? Yes. Now, here is one line of attack of this problem of the relation of the gamma rays with the alpha ray. But in the last year or two, we have got other methods of attack, some of which have been published, but only a little have been published. But one of the one interesting point is this. We supposed in the old days that an alpha particle from an atom was only one and always the same speed. So you had your atom, your quicker atom, the alpha particle at a definite velocity, and would always ratio about 1 to 4, and you can get the ranges. There's the mean range of that one. There's the mean range, the peak of that curve there. And you can get you can also get the velocity from the known relation between ranges and velocity. Next slide. Now then, we come to the examination of the long-range alpha particles by this method. And we'll first take those from the active deposit of thorium, thorium C, which have been examined by a number of people. This illustrates the method by Nimmo and Feather in my laboratory, and also a similar method in Professor Meitner's laboratory in Berlin, to show that probably two groups are present. You see, this is a Wilson table. You count where the particles end. That ought to give you the mean range. You see, there's a group there, and there's another little group. I'll try and reach it there. You see, apparently, and odds and ends that you don't know, right beyond here. I may tell you at once that these are really not true alpha particles. They are protons that will look like alpha particles. The method is difficult to distinguish. But that, you think there were two there, but you wouldn't be sure if there were a number of groups sort of concealed in this neighborhood. But when we analyze it by this method, counting hundreds of times more particles, the results were in very good, next one, in good accord with that. And you've got two groups here, you see, very well defined. One is 11.6 centimeters here, practically dropping to nothing here. And then this other group, about 9.67. And there's nothing in between, and what is more, nothing beyond. It's very simple. It gives only two groups of particles, and the relation of those with the gamma rays we are yet uncertain about. I'll not discuss that. We cannot be sure of that. The next slide illustrates the same type of experiments by the old methods with radium. You see, you look as if you had one peak there of some kind, roughly a peak, and you don't know what these skyscrapers are along here. There might be anything, but you can't analyze. The numbers are not sufficient. And you see there's some coming right out here, but I think I'll show you that those have no meaning beyond there. Those, most of those are protons, which were mistaken for alpha particles. You always have them present under condition. Now, the next slide shows the analysis by the new method. Now, if you would use a single counting chamber for these alpha particles from radium C dash, you ought to have got a curve like that. But to get that curve accurate, you'd have had to go on experimenting for a year or two. Because to even show that little rise there would have taken, you'd have to count millions of particles to be sure of it. So it's a long business. So this method, while it's useful to get an idea of the shape of the curve, that's a single chamber, it's a very little use for accurate work. And what we've got to apply is the double chamber to get the differential of that curve. And our mathematical friends will once see that if you took a differential of that curve, you ought to get a big peak at that point, couldn't you? I need to explain dilate on that further. Next slide, now you'll see the peak experimentally, which is even more important. Now there is the analysis simple way of the radium C particles. There's this great group here, which I will call particles of range 9 centimeters. I'll speak about them again. There is a very weak group here, very important one, and here's evidence, you see, of a number of groups, sort of, you're not sure about them. But bear that in mind, that is the sort of distribution of long-range particles. You can be clear from that, that if there are groups of particles, there are a great number too. Seven or eight at any rate. But bear in mind this big one. Next one shows the detailed analysis. This one here goes right up to, not to the sky at any rate, the actual numbers, they're numbered, you see, the number of the group and the energy. The alpha particle radium C, which is the ground level, is taken, the velocity is 1, and the energy, we take it as that. Now, from the relation between range and velocity, we can estimate with fair accuracy the energy of each of these other groups. And this part gives the number. You see, you have a million of that. You have 1 in 2 million of that first group, 17 in a million of the second, about 1 in 2 million or 1 in a million of the other group, 1 in 5 million of the N group. They give an idea of the magnitude. Now, on the view that I explained to you a short time ago, we'd anticipate that the energy of the gamma rays should be given by the difference of the energy of the alpha particle in the group and the energy of the alpha particle in the ground or normal state. And in the next curve, we see then as if that particular alpha particle fell from it's upside down. You can get the energy of the gamma ray you'd anticipate if it fell from each one of these levels to the next one. Oh, these represent the baton, yes. Then leave that to an instant. All right. These actual. That's right. Now, we get the difference then between the two. These represent the actual levels we observe. See, that is the first above the normal level. These represent the energy of what we may call energy level in the excited nucleus. Those 9 of them. Here is the difference of energy between that and the ground level, taking into account the various small factors. 6.3 and 14.6. Have you noticed those? And running up, this is 3 million. That is 630,000 volts energy, and this is 3 million. Now, at once, we observe that on this system, you could not expect to observe a gamma ray of energy greater than the fall from the highest group, greater than 3 million volts. And experimentally, we actually observe, no one has observed any gamma rays or beta rays of any appreciable number above that constant. So it is the general idea, experimental evidence, fits in that the gamma rays is in some way connected with the expulsion of these particles. But in addition, this group here, 6.3, is very closely in accord, like so. That's right. We observe 6.3 × 10⁵ volts. That's the difference of 2 big numbers. The actual gamma ray, the strongest one in radium, is 6.12 × 10⁵. And the difference between those is within the experimental error because the difference of 2 big numbers. The big curve, we observe roughly 14.6 × 10⁵. And the value actually found by the gamma ray is 14.26. And personally, in my opinion, those two groups are connected with those two gamma rays. I don't think there's very little doubt about it. And it may be some of the others, but we'll not go into that. But this is the strongest gamma ray of the system, and is connected with that very weak line, you see. That first weak line, 1 in 2 million. And what happens is, the alpha part is excited, it lasts. Here's the point I'm making. You might say, why do it long-range particles? It's shot up here, but it's time that it lasts before it falls down. Yeah? Another lower velocity group is brought in solid. The alpha rays are enormously more difficult to beat. But if you have a very powerful field and very big pole pieces, it can be done. And the Paris magnet can just do it. And Rosenblum, that'll do, thank you. That'll do. Right, sir.
Found that one particular body that is thorium seed, the only one he found, gave evidence of a complicated outer ring spectrum. There would be a very strong line there, a weaker one there, and then one or two more down here, weak ones. That is a strong one. It gave a complicated alpha ray spectrum. This would be the swiftest alpha particle. This the next swift, a little slow.
In other words, that this particular body appeared to be a complex alpha ray system. And we have evidence that some of these alpha ray bodies do give complex. We'll probably find more. Some of them do not, however. Some of them are quite simple, others, as far as we can observe, others are complex.
Now, the problem is, are these different alpha particles connected with gamma rays?
It is a quite different problem to the long range particles.
Because these are only have a short range. They cannot escape.
You never notice them as long range as particles, because the number would be too few.
But you have a different system,
and Gamow first suggested how you might get a relation between the gamma rays and the alpha rays.
By supposing, really, that in this case, imagine a dotted line, there's the highest level. You can imagine another one just above here, same distance above here, another one there, corresponding to that. Another one there.
He supposed, you might suppose, a type of collision.
And in this alpha particle escaping here,
a type of collision in which it shared its energy with another alpha particle.
Part of it, an alpha particle, would say this one got a little more energy and the other one a little less. This one corresponds to
some type of general type of collision. And in that case, you would have
these alpha particles here, these would escape in the normal way, but then the moment this escapes, this alpha particle would fall down to there, giving that energy, this one would stay, fall down to there, giving that energy, that one to there. So you get
a system of gamma. Well, the bother is that experimentally we haven't analyzed that thorium seed spectrum today. But in some recent work in my laboratory by Dr. Ellis, I think there's some indication
that probably some of the gamma rays
are really connected with this type of chain, a peculiar type of collision. So it looks if we're supporting this general idea, whenever you get a complex alpha particle system, you must get gamma rays. And I myself have been interested in the last week or two, in which is not yet published, which also illustrates that point of view.
Some of my co-workers, Lewis, Mr. Williams, have found another body,
I made mention it privately here,
the actinium emanation, is complex. Which, if you analyze it by the methods I've shown you, gives a curve, you remember, something of that kind, just like actinium. Now, if that is the case, if it's complex, there ought to be gamma rays corresponding to different energies of the alpha particles.
Now, it happens that this particular one, you can test it, because the actinium emanation is a gas.
And so, Mr. Bowden and myself, the last few weeks, we've been examining that. You can imagine here is the general system. Here is the actinium that is going to give the emanation.
radiation is about the right energy, but we'll hope to publish that later.
So this gives, if true, the first straightforward evidence.
Whenever you get a complex alpha alpha system, you ought to have gamma rays much in the way that gamma alpha suggested theoretically before they were observed. And when all this evidence is collected together, I think it is showing now quite clearly that you may say that general problem is settled, that the gamma rays do arise from transitions of alpha particles in the sort of different types I've mentioned. This type is quite different to the long-range particles, but they're illustration of the same point of view. Now, I hope I am not tiring you too much. There's another theoretical point I would like to mention. So far, we've spoken of the origin of the gamma rays. But now the question is there any connection? Can we explain the complicated system of gamma rays given, say, by radium C? It consists of probably 50 or more gamma rays, whose energies are roughly, some of them accurately, others roughly known. What point of view can we take on that very difficult problem? The bother is that a nucleus, as you know, is a very small thing, and we know very little about it. And this is one of the methods by trying to find these relations that we can hope to find something about the nucleus. You remember?
I had the opinion
for a long time, that's a personal conviction, that if we knew more about the nucleus, we'd find it was a much simpler thing than we supposed. That these fundamental things, I think, have got to be fairly simple. But it's the non-fundamental things that are very complex, usually. So we are hopeful. We must look for simplicity in the system first. And if the simplicity, we can't find it, well, we got to look at something more complex. I am always a believer in simplicity, being a simple person myself.
Now, you imagine you have your nucleus, yeah? There's your barrier that we're now so accustomed to. There's the normal level. Here's the center.
You can't know anything really about that nucleus. We know it's got about 50 alpha particles, a whole lot of electrons, and an odd proton or two. Theoretically, impossible to tackle except in broad lines, but one can look at it with the eye of imagination.
Now, here is the point. You can imagine that this system is excited by the expulsion of a beta particle.
And by the way, as I mentioned before, the beta particle seems to have an extraordinary power of exciting the resulting atom. It's remarkable. The mere expulsion of an electron doesn't seem to count very little, should set the nucleus vibrating like a piano when you tumble it downstairs.
And you put the one system, which you might imagine the alpha particle goes up into a whole number of levels,
unknown levels. And you'd have a new level for every gamma ray, practically. Well, that doesn't help much. You're really inventing levels. But there is another possibility that Dr. Ellis and I have been very interested in, namely, the possibility, say, instead of one alpha particle in that particular level, you might have two shot up in this.
Or three, or four. You might have one or two here. So.
You might, in other words, you might have numbers of particles.
Ausführungen gefolgt ist. Und ich möchte ihm auch im Namen von uns Physikern und von der Fakultät auch herzlich bedanken. Es erhebt sich nun die Frage, ob wir wie üblich in der physikalischen Gesellschaft diskutieren wollen. Do you like that? We have a discussion, Dr. Rutherford.
It's a question of whether your dinner is more important than the discussion.
If you turn it this way, I can't help to say, of course, the discussion is much more important.
Perhaps we talk a little bit about it. We ask some questions, yes? Would you like?
Well, if you like, I don't think you ought to ask more than a few.
Yes, a few questions.
I'm ready to answer, but I will just follow them.
Also ich schlage vor, mit dem Einverständnis von Dr. Rutherford, dass wir ein paar Fragen stellen. Darf ich fragen, wer hier zu das Wort will?
May I ask you, Dr. Rutherford, is it necessary to say that the alpha particles are really on the same level in such a way that we could describe these goals or trees with the same quantum numbers? I believe it would be necessary only that the energy is the same.
Yes.
And I hope that from the point of view of the theory, Carroll and Brown and other theoretical physicists can say more of this contestation, has nothing to say against this view. It seems so convincing that you occur that there should be anything real there with the idea that you mentioned. And I believe it would be allowed if we only say that these goals are, or three are connected really in the way as a molecule is connected in normal case.
Yes.
And therefore I have the same
energy relative to what?
Yes. But not, it is not necessary that they have the same quantum number.
No. Well, I don't know. Same energy.
Can you give this state? This is quantum number.
I don't really know enough. A quantum number doesn't mean anything until you read it in the planet. And I imagine in the nucleus that we can't quite define what we mean by a quantum number. And so one uses this rather simple, applied idea, though, I know that our mathematical friends can define something that they know what they mean, even if I don't.
I thought it would be necessary only for our point of view to say that there is a difference between these goals. A difference not in energy, but a difference in the behavior.
I don't know how you would define it.
It's very difficult to say. I don't think it can be as simple as I have suggested, you know what I mean? But the first approximation, I think, it is very simple. I'm not sure if does not want to be too sure of the nucleus. It has many surprises for it.
Mr. Mosrock,
I'm ready to answer, but I will just follow it.
Also ich schlage vor, mit dem Einverständnis von Lothar Wasser Fatz ein paar Fragen stellen. Darf ich fragen, wer hierzu das Wort nimmt?
May I ask you, Lord Rutherford, is it necessary to say that the alpha particles are really on the same level in such a way that we could describe these poles or three with the same quantum number? I believe it would be necessary only that the energy is the same. Yes. And I hope that from the point of view of the theory, Powell and Born and other theoretical physicists can say more of this, upon this question. There's nothing to say against this view. It seems so convincing that you occur that there should be anything real there with the idea that you mentioned. And I believe it would be allowed if we only say that these poles three are connected merely in the way as a molecule is connected in normal case.
Yes.
And therefore
they have the same energy relative to one.
Yes. But not it is not necessary that they have the same quantum number.
No.
Well, I don't know.
Yes.
Can you give this state, this quantum number, this different state?
I don't really know. A quantum number doesn't mean anything until you really can define it. And I imagine in the nucleus that we can't quite define it. What we mean by a quantum number. And so one uses this rather simple applied idea though, but I know that our mathematical friends can define something if they know what they mean, even if I don't.
I thought it would be necessary only for our point of view to say that there is a difference between these poles. A difference, not in energy, but a difference in the behavior.
I don't know how you define it.
It's very difficult to say. I know that being simple, I don't think it can be as simple as I have suggested, you know what I mean? But the first approximation, I think, it is very simple. I'm not sure. One does not want to be too sure of the nucleus. It has many surprises for
it. Mr. Ross, back.
Yeah. You were talking about the name of the community. You were found by the same person.
Yeah.